All right, very well. Yeah, it's again just a joy and a privilege and an honor to be with you all tonight as we are looking unto the Lord for a blessing here this evening. I don't know. I was thinking maybe I would just rather be seated and we have a little family talk, you know, we sort of pull the chairs together and we maybe have the fireplace crackling and we just have a little family time. It's my heart's desire that it could be very informal as we're together here to share together. We want to thank you for thinking of us in the passing of our grandson and the gift basket you gave to us. We say thank you very much. We were very, very blessed in that way. So many have reached out in showing love, compassion, and care. So we say thank you to Cross Keys Church here tonight. As you have submitted some questions over the last number of Sundays, and we plan to get to those in session 2 and 3. And so for this evening, I thought we would look at the foundations of God's purpose and plan in marriage. Wherefore, one. And we'll start in the beginning tonight. It all starts with God in the beginning. In the beginning, God created. And of course, we know He created the heaven and the earth. And then He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Man. Created in the image of God, male and female created He them. And then we have a little more in-depth look at the creation of man and woman in Genesis 2:18, where God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him or a counterpart who is suitable and complementary to man. And of course, we know that God caused him to fall asleep, and he took a rib from the man's side, and he made a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And then Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So as we do a crash course, you might say, of just a large overview of the created purpose of why we're here, created in the image of God, male and female. And then we have the introduction of marriage, where a man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Jesus said this of marriage. He said, they are no more twain, but one flesh. And God hath joined them together. How many here tonight are married? Yeah, most of us, yeah. It's the second best thing that I did in life. My first best thing was to become one with my Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, my Savior. And then the second best decision I ever made in life was to marry my sweetheart, my lovely bride, Janice, the wife of my youth. In Malachi chapter 2, we get to the heart of why God ordained marriage and why He brings a husband and a wife together in oneness. Malachi 2:15, did He not make one, yet had He the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one? Wherefore one? That He might seek a godly seed. Malachi 2:15. In the NLT, it speaks it this way: didn't the Lord make you one with your wife in body, and your spirit are his? And what does he want? Godly children from your union. I think you would with me recognize that the marriages and families are under attack in America. It is very sobering and almost startling to see some of the things that are taking place. But tonight we believe better things of you. We believe that we believe God's word and God's design and God's created purpose for marriage. I thought of just going over a few things of Scripture that would give us a beautiful recipe for blessing and oneness in marriage and in our families. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, he said, "I pray for them." John 17, verse 11, "Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Jesus is praying for us tonight. The Scriptures teach us that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for us. That is so wonderful and so amazing that Jesus is interceding for us. And here in his high priestly prayer, his passion and burden for his church, for his people, are oneness with the Father, oneness with him, and oneness with each other. That they may be one as we are one, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You know, to become joined together in marriage and to become one flesh, you know, even unbelievers can do that. To become one in flesh, in two bodies coming together in marriage. But to become one in spirit, to become one in heart and mind with God and his created purpose and with our spouse. This is the heart of God. He says in verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. It's amazing to me how Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, before he went to the cross, he unburdened his heart to his heavenly Father with the passion of, I believe, our Father God, as he was hearing from his Father and he was pouring out his heart to his Father. He says, "The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me." And I want to paraphrase that. That our oneness with our spouse, our unity in oneness, our love with our Heavenly Father and our love with each other in our marriage relationship, that our children may know that there's a God. That our children may know that God is love. That our children may see what it means to dwell together in oneness, in unity. Oh yes, the world needs to see it, but I say our children need to see it. And I tell my wife, Janice, you know, it needs to work with us at home. I want my relationship with my Heavenly Father and my relationship with Jesus Christ to be so real that it affects me in my closest relationship with this in my marriage. And I say to her, Janice, it has to work between us. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to come to church and pretend something of a holy life or a life with Christ, but not have the reality of it in my marriage, in my home. I want to urge us tonight that we would hear the heartbeat of God and we will strive and press in for that oneness. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. As we look at some scriptures in a recipe, you might say, just perusing a few scriptures for marriage and oneness, in Psalm 133, verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And I want to say tonight, oh, behold, and how good it is for husbands and wives to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment on the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, and down to the skirts of his garment. Oh, it is a beautiful aroma, a beautiful fragrance that permeates the entire being. It goes down the skirt, down to the garment, all the way down to the very ground we walk on. You know, like we say sometimes, you know, at the heart of the matter, at the root, at the foundation. Unity. Oh, how good it is. It's as the dew of Hermon, the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And you know, when we think of dew, we think of refreshment. Oh, the plants, they just absorb that moisture, that water, that dew. And dew is gentle. It falls gently. Oh, that our marriages would be endued with the beautiful fragrance of unity and oneness and blessing, nurturing, watering our relationship. There the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Philippians 2:2, "Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one mind and of one accord." You know, I'm sorry, I forgot to ask, what time should we be finishing here? 8? 8:30 maybe even? Okay. 8:15? Okay, thank you. "Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Not self-centered, not looking at just my own things, but on the things of others. Interesting verse in 1 Corinthians 7:33, "He that is married careth for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And she that is married, she cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband." Just skimming a few more verses here in 1 Peter 3:7. "Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, with great gentleness, with regard for the marriage relationship. Show her honor and respect as a fellow heir of the grace of life." Colossians 3:19, "Husbands, love your wives," and the Amplified brings out this way, "with an affection that is a selfless love that always seeks the best for her." Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, with behavior worthy of respect, and esteem, always seeking the best for her with an attitude of loving kindness. In Titus 2, verse 4, in the Amplified paraphrase of Scripture, the older women teaching the younger women to encourage the young married women to tenderly and affectionately love their husbands and their children, that they be good-natured. And then Ephesians 5:33, the wife see that she reverence her husband. Show respect and take great delight in her husband is the Amplified paraphrase. Notice him and prefer him and treat him with loving concern. Treasure him, honor him, and hold him dear. And then, of course, one of the final ones I want to look at here is in Ephesians 5:18, that we be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Oh, isn't that a beautiful picture of a beautiful marriage and a beautiful home? If we follow God's plan, God's design, God's purpose, and in order to live that out, we must be filled with the Spirit. I can't do that in my own self. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, giving thanks always. Oh, that makes a happy home. And submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, in the presence of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we come now in Jesus' name as we look a little deeper into your word and into this message here tonight and the word of God before us. And Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would speak your words of life and grace and truth to us, Lord. Father, I pray that tonight would be a time of encouragement, a time of edification. I pray it would be a time of drawing near to God, a time of growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. I pray, Father, it would be a time of victory, a time of defeat to the enemy of our souls, a time of you speaking to our hearts, a time of revelation by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, a time of strengthening to your people, a time of blessing, a time of marriages being enriched and encouraged and strengthened, and homes being blessed and our children being blessed. Father, I ask this in Jesus Christ's name. So as we mentioned earlier, as we look at all these beautiful things, what a beautiful recipe, what a beautiful plan that God has. What a beautiful created purpose for our marriages and our families. However, we do have an enemy. We have an adversary, the devil, and we have the flesh to deal with. Jesus said, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Peter, in Peter 5:8, gives us these words of exhortation: to be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So there we see a description of the thief, and we could look at a lot more of the devil, the adversary that wars against us. And then we have a description of the flesh in James 4:1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not even hence, even of your own lusts that war in your members, in this body, in this carnal nature of man? Wars, fightings, even of lusts that are in your members. Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill, ye desire to have, and ye cannot obtain. And ye fight and war, and yet ye have not, because you ask not. But you ask, and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. And then Peter gives his admonition. He says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from those fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You know, sometimes it's quite almost amusing at the little things that can bring tension and stress into a marriage. Song of Solomon said it this way in Song of Songs 2:15, take us the little foxes that spoil the vines. Amplified says, it's the little foxes that spoil and ruin the vineyards of marital love. It's these little things. For our vines have tender grapes. Maybe we'll have a little humor here as we think about this. Those little things that can irritate us. Those little things that can sort of get in a relationship. I remember my dad-in-law saying one time about his brother-in-law saying that it's these little things. You know, the big things we can sort of expect and handle, but it's these little things. I mean, she lets her shoes in front of the vanity, and then I come walking in at night to go to the bathroom and stumble over her shoes, you know. You know, it's these little things. Lets the clothing lay around, doesn't close the door or turn the lights off, or the battle of the thermostat. He turns it up, she turns it down. These little things. He always waits till the last minute, then he's rushing like crazy, and he drives too fast, or next time he's driving too slow. Tells me how to cook. And when she ain't looking, add more pepper to the meat. Why do I say those things? A little more butter to the dish. Because I'm guilty. I have done it. You know, it can be those little things. The little foxes that spoil the vines. You know, it can be a little bit like the ants in the pantry. Or the mice in the kitchen. They cause so much trouble. Little things. Isn't it crazy how we let little irritations rob us of the beauty of sweet unity and oneness and appreciating one another and exhorting and encouraging one another? But it's these little things. Maybe we're unique in that way that we sometimes have to deal with those little things, or I do. So as I was thinking of it this evening, I thought, you know, wow, what if tonight we give the devil a black eye? And we could just really seriously deal with those little things. And we're going to refuse to let those little things become a thief and robber of our fervent love for each other. We're not going to let these little things get between us. And then, God forbid, what about bigger things? Is it possible that we're dealing with some bigger things here tonight? Maybe there's anger toward a spouse. Maybe there's resentment and strife turning into bitterness. Oh, God help us, and God forbid. What if there'd be even verbal abuse? Putting one another down, speaking evil, finding fault. Or immorality. An addiction to porn. Wherefore, one, as we start that discourse there in Malachi 2:13, it begins this way. And this ye have done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and with crying, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. And ye say, wherefore, Lord, are weeping, are crying out? Why don't you hear? Why don't you regard? Verse 14, Malachi chapter 2. Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Peter gives us this sobering warning and admonition. Husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The Amplified paraphrase brings that out a bit this way, a little stronger, clearer maybe. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, with great gentleness and in intelligent regard for the marriage relationship, as with someone who is physically weaker, since she is a woman. Show her honor and respect as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered or rendered ineffective. You know, this is a very sobering passage of Scripture. If we're at odds in our marriage relationship, if we're dealing treacherously in our marriage relationship, if we're in disunity, if we're arguing and fighting, if we are not guarding that marriage union, and instead of sacrificial loving one another, there is division, there is, he calls it here, treachery. It's dealing treacherously, falsely, deceitfully. And with that kind of a relationship broken down, he gives the picture of prayers being made, weeping and crying, covering the altar of God with tears. But the scriptures say in another place that if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. So it's my sincere, earnest desire tonight that we would not come under any condemnation of any kind, but that we would welcome the Holy Spirit's conviction in our hearts, and we would welcome Him showing us areas in our lives where there's disunity or there's treachery in motion or anything like that, and where there's wrong attitudes and wrong things taking place, and those little foxes are spoiling the vines and spoiling that unity, that beautiful unity and oneness. What is it here tonight that we are dealing with in our marriages? Is there treachery in the marriage relationship? And are your prayers being hindered? Are they being rendered ineffective and powerless because of disunity in our marriage? Because we allow the little foxes to come in and we are offended and we are upset with our spouse. And we can make everything look beautiful when we come to church, but is there harshness? Is there unloving attitudes, unchristlikeness in our marriage? Does the devil have a place in our marriage to hinder us and to stop us and to render our prayers ineffective? Malachi 2:15 again. Did he not make one? And wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? You know, when the marriage relationship is in trouble and in distress, and husbands and wives are at odds with each other, you can know that that opens a door and an inroad to the children. The children are greatly affected when husbands and wives are not loving each other and laying down their lives for each other. That instead of beauty all around and joy in every sound, there's strife and there's tension and there's unhappiness. And children can't wait to get away from the stress and the tension. Sometimes mealtimes become very difficult because there's such tension between mom and dad, and maybe between children as well. They learn it from their parents. Oh, I urge us tonight that we would lay this foundation well. And if there's anything in our marriages tonight that is hindering us, that we would take it to the cross. We would come to Jesus and take it to the cross. Are your hands clean tonight? Is your heart pure? Or do you have an evil eye? Are you a lustful man? Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? Wherefore? Because He wants godly children from your union. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. So guard your heart, husband. We are focusing in on the husband in this Malachi chapter. Guard your heart. Remain loyal and loving to the wife of your youth. Do not deal treacherously, for the Lord God of Israel saith, He hateth putting away, for one covereth with violence his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously, for I hate divorce, saith the Lord God of Israel. You know, it's really sad if there's a spirit of divorce at work. And of course we know the devil is always seeking to devour. He is walking about seeking to devour. He's looking for that inroad that he can make. Just get you a little bit frustrated and upset with your wife. Just get you a little bit frustrated and upset with your husband. And just dishonor him and disrespect him. And not submit to him. Stand up to your own. And husband to discard his wife and to trample upon her. And a spirit of divorce creeps in. No, we never divorce. But is there a spirit of divorce has been allowed to creep into your marriage, into that beautiful foundation of a unity and oneness that Jesus is praying for us? So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to love your wife. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Love your wife with affection and a selfless love that always seeks the best for your wife. Do not be resentful. You say, well, I never say it. But it enters my mind. You know what? We can't even afford to think about it. We shouldn't even entertain it. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When thoughts of unholy thoughts and unholy feelings rise in your breast, put them to death immediately. We cannot afford to think about those things. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You know, this is a high calling for a wife. I should let my wife speak about this. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto Jesus. It's a very high calling. As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. A high calling that we have. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What a high calling we husbands have. To love as Jesus loves us. And give ourselves for our wife, just as Christ gave himself. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Oh, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but he nourishes us and cherishes it. We know how to take care of me, don't we? Oh, but my dear brother, let us take care of our wife in that way, to nourish and to cherish even as the Lord does his church. He concludes Ephesians 5, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The Amplified paraphrase expounds upon this. The wife see that she reverence her husband. The wife must see to it that she respects and delights in her husband. This takes purpose. This takes effort. This takes self-denial. This takes taking up the cross. This takes purpose and decisiveness to not become passive and to take each other for granted and neglect that nurture and that care and that honor and that respect. Amplified paraphrase, it says that she respects and delights in her husband, that she notices him, prefers him, and treats him with loving concern, treasuring him and honoring him, holding him dear. Titus 2, that they may teach a young woman to be sober and to love their husbands and to love their children. to be obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed or dishonored. So we're in a warfare, brothers and sisters. We're in a fight. Oh, but we have weapons to fight. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But you know, we have to be honest with ourselves and with the Lord. Lie not against the truth. One woman put it this way, could you just at least be a kind to me as you are to the stranger at the door? Is your marriage marked by kindness and love? So my dear brothers and sisters here this evening, I want to exhort us with Colossians 3:5. So put to death, mortify those deeds of the body. Put to death, deprive of their power this earthly body, its sensual, self-centered instincts. Put to death immorality, impurity, evil desires, greed. Verse 8, rid yourselves completely of anger, malice and slander. Lie not one to another, for you have stripped off the old self with its evil practices. So praise God, and you have put on the new spiritual man, which is continually renewed in the true knowledge and image of Him who created the new man. This evening, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That word clamor is a word that we don't use much today. It has the meaning of perpetual animosity or resentment. Clamor. Just not letting it go. Keeping account, keeping a ledger of the misdeeds my spouse has done to me, or the unkindness, or the lack of whatever I feel as a failure, and there I am with resentment building and fault finding, clamor, perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, and fault finding. Oh, my brother, my sister, let's get rid of it. Let's clean house tonight. If there's any of these things in our relationship, in our lives. And he says, slander, let it all be put away from you with every kind of malice, spitefulness, verbal abuse. Get rid of it. Mortify it. Put it to death. Hear the words of Jesus, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, I'm not sure how many things the word Lord Jesus made so clear that he said you need to do daily, but here he said, take up your cross daily. Take up the cross daily in denying myself. John 12:24, Jesus said, I say to you, verily, verily, I say, truly, truly, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Probably most marriage strifes and problems and divisions and stresses to the point of where there's the spirit of divorce in the home, and finally the actual divorce takes place, can be attributed to this very thing. One of us or both of us is not willing to die. I am not willing to give up. I am not willing to deny myself. I am not willing to submit myself to my wife. Did you know the Bible says that? The Bible says in Ephesians that first of all, we are to submit one to another in the fear of God. That means a husband as well as a wife. It goes on to speak of headship order and speaking of the wife to be in subjection to her husband. But we have no authority or right to be a lord or a boss over our spouse as a husband over our wife. Tonight I want to urge us, die. For the sake of your children, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of oneness in your marriage and in your home, and the beautiful dew of heaven falling upon you, and the beautiful fragrance of the presence and the joy of the Lord in your home, die. And then, hallelujah, if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Much spiritual fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faith. Brother, sister, why would I hold on to my rights and demand my way? We don't realize what it's costing us. We don't see it. Our eyes are blinded, deceived. Selfishness is so ugly. Pride is so ugly. I want to urge us tonight, be ye kind one to another. Be tenderhearted, compassionate, understanding, and forgiving one another readily and freely. Let it go, let it go. Just as God, for Christ's sake, also forgave you. Let's get on praying ground tonight. You know, maybe you have been praying for something for a long time. But the very thing right in front of us, we're not dealing with. My attitude toward my spouse. That resentment. That anger. Or maybe just those little things, those little foxes. Just rubbing me the wrong way, the way he always clears his throat all the time, the way he breathes too loud, whatever it is, the way he wraps up the toilet paper or leaves his shoes lying or doesn't close the door or lets the lights on. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't change and try to do better as a spouse, to understand our wife and dwell with them in a way of understanding and learn to be more manly, more respectful, and clean up after ourselves, and whatever the case may be. But dear brother, sister, tonight, let's get on praying ground. Whether it's the little foxes, or whether it's a big lion tonight that you're dealing with. The cross is the answer to the little foxes and to the big lion. If you're overtaken in lust, if you're into porn tonight, the cross is the answer. Humility and reckoning and getting right with God is the answer. Tonight, let's deal the devil a death blow and drive him out of our marriages. I urge you tonight, for the sake of the gospel of Christ and for the sake of your marriage and the sake of your children. I'm old enough now to have seen it. The sins of the fathers and the mothers and the parents are magnified in the children many times. Oh, they can be saved. They can come out of it. And sometimes you marvel. He was a drunk. He was a drunk. I knew him well. But his wife was a praying mom. And her sons turned out to be godly sons. But you know, often it's not that way. So tonight, my dear brother, sister, let's get on praying ground. Not that it has to be our testimony like in Malachi. You pray, you weep, you cry, but God says, I don't hear. Because you're dealing treacherously in your marriage relationship. Oh, let's deal with it tonight. And get on praying ground. Deny ourselves and die. Take up the cross. And Jesus has a beautiful promise for us. I'll close with this. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are in this beautiful oneness of agreement, in the name of Jesus, there Jesus says, I am in the midst. And brother, sister, husbands, wives, we need God in our midst. We need the presence, the revealing of God in our homes. Oh, happy the home where Christ is present and he is head and he is Lord and we're submitting to him and loving him. And there's joy all around when there's love at home. You know, I was pondering this, and I was just thinking about our gathering here. And again, I pray, Father in heaven, no condemnation, but Lord, beautiful, sweet conviction. The goodness of God that exposes our sin, shines the light upon the true nature of our hearts, and exposes my sin so that I can get right and deal with it. Oh, Lord, we ask for that in Jesus' name. We ask for the families, the marriages at Cross Keys to be beautified with the Lordship of Jesus Christ in husbands and wives. Father, if there's any sin tonight that your light is illuminating, revealing, Lord, I pray you would grant us the gift of repentance and we would come and we would receive forgiveness and cleansing and washing and kick the old devil out and crucify the flesh, the self-life. Oh, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. You know, I'm just going to give an invitation tonight if there's someone that would want to respond. And we're not going to judge you if you respond. We're not going to say, oh, my, is he maybe addicted to porn, or is he an adulterer? Or no, we're not going to do that. We're more mature than that. Don't do that. Judge yourself. Let me judge myself. Let's all judge ourselves and not each other. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I thank you, Jesus. It's such a beautiful thing to be convicted so that we can find cleansing and washing and be delivered. Oh, Father, tonight we welcome your conviction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark spot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Oh, praise you, Father. You are so good to us, Lord. Oh, Father, bless the families at Cross Keys. Bless the husbands and wives with fervent love in their marriage relationship. Oh, God, fervent self-denial. Oh, fervent, strong, obedient, sacrificial love. Oh, Father, that the children may dwell in the sunshine of a beautiful family and home where there isn't hypocrisy, there isn't hiding of sin, there isn't two-facedness, there isn't pretension. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, Lord, we just commend and commit these dear, precious families to you. Bless these marriages, Lord. Bless these homes, Father, that there may be godly seed to do damage to Satan's kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.